This commentary is approximately 12 minutes in length. Hey, thanks for dropping in to hear this little informal commentary of mine about the general topic of how partially sighted kids should be trained with regard to sighted techniques and blindness techniques and that sort of thing, and what my biases are and why I think that what I believe is a good idea is actually a good idea. And my background is that I'm totally blind, have been since early childhood, and spent quite a bit of time at the School for the Blind until I was in 10th grade. And then I worked some in rehab before I got my engineering job. So I have a little bit of experience, and I grew up in the Jernigan era and Federationism, and have kind of drifted out of organized blind movements in general over the years, but that was my basic philosophy, probably is what got me started thinking about what I think. But in general, I had the impression that our school, the Iowa school, generally pushed sighted kids to behave like sighted kids, if at all possible. There was a model that sighted was better and blind was sort of inferior, and if you could be sighted, you wanted to be sighted. So if you had partial sight, you should use visual techniques, if at all possible. There wasn't any question whether one was better or worse for you, depending on your circumstances. It was more of the general assumption that visual techniques were just more normal, and they were just they were just better. So if you could use them, do use them. And I feel kind of bad for some of the partials, especially the low partials, because they struggled to use visual techniques that weren't working terribly well for them, and they could have profited by learning the non-visual techniques and using them to good advantage. One incident that I remember that was not at the school but happened later was a high partial of my friend of mine who had a sort of off-color sense of humor, and his wife did as well, so she appreciated him. But they were shopping, and he had nothing better to do, I guess. So he acquired a banana from the produce section and looked around and saw her coat and proceeded to be physically creative with the banana, not to mention his speech as well, only to have the coat whirl around and then suddenly for him to realize the coat was the right color, but the woman inside was the wrong woman. I guess they made more than one coat of that color. Anyway, it was a case of, using the wrong technique in the wrong moment and counting on it for what it could not deliver, maybe being a little careless. Well, in less hilarious cases, people can sometimes get hurt by using the wrong techniques. So anyway, there's a good reason to think this over about what we teach to whom. But here's the way I'm thinking about this. If you are partially sighted, you are on a slippery slope, and your circumstances may vary. Some conditions are slipperier than others, you might say. And by that, I mean you're more or less likely to lose your sight over the course of your lifetime. And the worry about that, knowing that's a possibility, can kind of eat at you. Well, if you think blindness is a pretty bad deal, if you think it's to be avoided at all costs, maybe that your self-image would suffer if you became a blind person, a fully, totally blind person, or that you would not be able to do things, or you wouldn't be able to stand the sensory deprivation that comes along with making that transition, you'd worry about the possibility of falling down that slope and ending up at the bottom end of the slope. Well, if you're taught that visual techniques are just to be used when at all possible, that philosophically connotes the notion that the top end of the slope, the part that's sort of slipping away from you is the thing to attain. It's the thing to strive for. It's the definition of, quote, normal and legitimate and respectable. But the truth is, of course, except in unusual circumstances, your sight is not likely to improve, and you're not likely to be able to climb back up that slope. It's slipping away. And sliding down the slope, on the other hand, the inevitable, is tragedy, is loss, is negative. There's nothing good about that. Well, that creates terrible emotional anxiety, you know, and worry and stress, and all of that is just toxic to the soul. It seems to me to be so much better for somebody in that condition to strive to embrace the lower end, to understand what it really is. So that means mastering non-visual techniques. You want not just to learn what they are, but to become good at them. So that's a pretty darn good reason to go and learn how the other side does business. And again, I think that's not just a matter of learning the techniques, but it's also a matter of getting accustomed to the condition of blindness. The lack of that visual input can lead to depression, and people, when they first adjust to it, or try to adjust. And when you're trying to learn non-visual techniques, usually you'll do something like put on sleep shades, and it's important to keep them on and to keep your brain challenged for long periods of time and not cheat, you know, and don't lift the sleep shade and peek out the corner, because you know you cheated. And when you know you cheated, you miss out on the conditioning that's taken place there, because that gives you the excuse to say, well, I did it, but I wouldn't have, I had to cheat. I had to use vision to do it. What you want to have is the experience that I did it without sight. Your brain is a programmable device. It really learns new pathways based on what it normally does and what it repeats over and over. And when you put it in circumstances, it acquires new modes of operation to get information that it didn't have before. Like, you know, it will learn to make inferences based on the limited data that it has available when you've got the sleep shades on, and it'll start concluding things. It's not just what you perceive in the moment, but it's what it makes from what little it does get. And it's this continued exposure that makes it do that. One thing that I noticed, I use cochlear implants because I've developed hearing problems in later life. And one thing that happened to me when I got my second cochlear implant is that they operated on the right ear, the second one, and I had to live with a single cochlear implant for an entire month. And I was concerned about how well I was going to go. But what happened was, because I had to rely on that, and I had no choice but to just experience the exposure to that, I actually started hearing better through the first cochlear by virtue of that deprivation. It really does change you. You just have to really put yourself in there and stay there and endure it in order to receive the benefit. What you're doing there is debunking the condition of blindness. What you're doing there is teaching your brain to understand that there's actually life down there, that as a blind person, you are a complete human being, a fully legitimate soul with a lot to offer, just one who functions non-visually. That's a badge of courage you can wear with honor. Well, that's a big, heaping, whopping difference between that and the condition described by my school for the blind, where blindness was to be avoided at all costs. So by embracing, what you've done is take the sting out of the adjustment. Now, the truth is, of course, that most partially sighted people are going to function with a mix of visual and non-visual techniques, if they're objective about it, because what they care about is what works. what helps me get done what I want done the most conveniently, the quickest, the most efficient path to where I want to go, which one does it? And that you choose that without regard to anybody's value judgment on this is a sighted technique and this makes you look more normal and all that kind of stuff. What works? So it's a mix that people use in daily life. But if you're trying to make that adjustment, you can't just stop at, a couple weeks course with some sleep shades on to get the basic ideas. You will have to revisit that often, maybe even daily or weekly, for an hour or two here and there. Keep focus on it. Try to function totally non-visually often. The more you practice those techniques and expose yourself to that, the more you develop those pathways in your brain, and the better you get at it. And as you feel yourself getting better, your confidence grows and your comfort level grows. And then when you're in hybrid mode and you're using your newfound blind techniques in connection with your visual techniques, you're just in a much better position, even so. So it's just a win-win, really. There's no reason not to go ahead and cultivate that. Cultivate them and master them. Then you've got it. If it ever does happen, you've got those techniques. You've got resources to draw on. If it never does happen, you've worried about it a whole heck of a lot less because you knew that if it did happen, while you didn't really want it to happen, you could deal with it. And you'll have a lot more respect for your totally blind friends. And that'll be good. So that's why I say that embracing is a far better approach than eschewing, because it takes the bite out of it. It demystifies it. It teaches you there's life beyond the loss of sight. Thank you for listening.